independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Some school districts have already started school. District that we live in starts tomorrow. We had Meet the Teacher on Monday, though. Have your daughter started yet?
We had Meet the Teacher last Friday. Both girls start tomorrow. In service the last 2 days has been a handful for us. I cannot wait for back to school tomorrow. Lisa's off of work so that
you
she
can't wait for it?
I cannot wait for back to school.
Why do you like back to school?
Because I'm
anti back to school.
There is a laundry list, but let me start with the one you will understand the most.
Okay.
From a financial standpoint, you have to pay for summer camp for...
Well, that's a choice. That's not a must.
It is a must when you have the schedules that Lisa and I have. So instead of public schools, which is free, you have to pay for all summer for summer camp so that Taylor's got a place to go and she's occupied. And look, we love the summer camp she goes to. It's phenomenal at Lifetime. But here's the thing. It's money out of our pocket every month that is going to be better served used elsewhere when she gets back to going to school every day. So it's fantastic for me just starting with that regard and that regard alone. So I've got Maddie and Tay back in school.
That's something that we don't worry about. We have the luxury there. So okay. A financial thing for us.
We don't have any help. We don't have any relatives nearby or anything.
We've been blessed with help. Yeah, so we got plenty of that.
We haven't been. So not that we're complaining about it, but look, financially, that's a huge bump for us. So that alone makes a big difference for us. So I love that. I love the fact that now, you know, it's learning season again, too. Now there's so many different things to occupy. The kids get so wrapped up, and we've been doing more reading and research into how detrimental a computer or an iPad can be for a kid.
Okay.
And so now they're going to have homework. They're going to have projects.
That's another thing that you could, you know, police a little bit.
Yeah, and we have been policing it, but I'm saying now it's done for me because now not only are they occupied and instead of just, you know, as much as I love all the activities they're going through, now they're getting back to classroom learning. They're getting back to really, you know, meaningful learning experiences. And then they're also going to have homework as well, which means they're going to spend less time on their electronics for fun, and they're going to be doing their schoolwork.
Remember virtual learning?
Yeah.
That was the absolute worst.
A lot of kids struggled mightily with that because there was too many distractions.
Man, I wanted to quit school. I wanted to quit the virtual. I was very happy that that came back. Now, I'm anti back to school for a variety of different reasons. First and foremost, it's end of the vacation season. Like, okay, kiss your vacations goodbye. You're committing to 5 days a week. You know, the hours that they're committed there. So, like, okay, you're not getting any weekend getaways, really. Not really. You can't just take off to go to the water park on a Wednesday afternoon after work, stuff like that.
Right.
So anti that. Also, the traffic is abysmal. Like, back-to-school traffic is unreal. Like, how are there so many?
I hear you.
I feel like
that.
There's five parents taking one kid to school, the amount of traffic that goes through these neighborhoods.
Okay, but on the flip side, I'll tell you that the minute that you start taking your kids back to school, you realize football season's right around the corner.
Yeah.
And for a resident of Houston and the surrounding areas or the state of Texas, you realize that as much as the dog days of summer with 100-degree temperatures have been kicking your ass, it's not going to take all that long for those temperatures to start dropping about 20 degrees and feel a whole lot better in this city.
Yeah.
And again, the first alert is kids are going back to school. Let's hope that cooler days are coming quickly.
See, I didn't look at the calendar aspect. Like, to me, it's more of like the event than where it presides on the calendar. Because, yeah, those things are great. It's starting to get a little bit cooler. Football season's around the corner. The calendar aspect is fantastic. I love the fall. And, of course, it means bringing football back. But the traffic is a bear. The fact that I'm giving up my vacations is terrible. And also, the mornings become a little trickier, too. Now you've got to prepare breakfast. You got to get your kid dressed, ready to go to school. All of those things as well. So now you're adding a stress to your life that didn't exist for the last 2.5 months.
Well, I will say this. It's a hard deadline as opposed to she gets to summer camp whenever she gets to summer camp. But, yeah, when you know that school starts at this time and they damn well better be in their classroom by that time, but the other stuff, you know, whether they're at summer camp or they're at school, you got to get the breakfast and get them fed and clothed and out the door.
Yeah.
The same thing.
I got to be honest, for me, I don't notice like any difference. I live close to work, so I don't notice any major traffic difference. I obviously am not dropping any kids off at school. Jeremy is the only parent I can ever think of that I've heard say they don't appreciate
yeah.
back to school season.
Can't
I feel like parents
it.
Usually love it.
Oh my God, it's fantastic. Don't you realize that school's back in because the competition you're playing on a nightly basis in video games goes down?
You know what? It's so funny you say that. I think there is a case to be made that there are times of the year you recognize the player base seems to be better or worse. I don't even think you're wrong there.
I just meant sheer numbers.
With hot video
like
games.
Christmas, things. Like around Christmas.
I just meant sheer numbers. Like, you know, you look at who's ready to play, you know, a game or something like that, and you're like, God, numbers are down.
The time that you notice it the most is probably Christmas when a bunch of people get a new game.
Oh, the volume shoots
and
up.
And you're like, wait, why does everybody suck so much? It's because they're new.
Back to school season. What side are you on? Do you love it? Not so much. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. We went to the Meet the Teacher on Monday. More cars than I've seen in my neighborhood combined. People were parking on curbs and fire lanes, blocking everything up the street for miles. Like, where do all these people come from?
Yeah, no, that's the one thing that we noticed going last Friday was the fact that people just decide they can park in fire lanes and just up on the curb and wherever, however they want.
I mean, I went
want.
Up on the curb myself because I wasn't going to walk a mile.
And the other thing is it's like there's some priority to meet the teacher first because, like, you know, meet the teachers from like 4:30 to 6.
See, ours was 5 to 7.
Okay. Well, so there's about a hour and a half to two-hour window. But, like, the parents are so hard-pressed to be the first parents that, like, there's this – mad rush to be, and there's 100 cars around the school,
yeah.
And then there's no cars in the final 45 minutes.
See, I didn't notice that. We were the first ones, we weren't the first ones, but we got there closer to 5 than 7 because we wanted to get it out of the way. Go home, have a little bit of dinner. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Go ahead and get it out of the way. 713-780-ESPN. Todd, the show says, I'm excited for back to school because that means I can go back to working in my office. Why does that make you laugh?
It makes me laugh because Todd, the show, in his reputation as being a longtime listener, normally it gets our raunchiest or craziest conversations have happened while he was in the pickup line.
Oh, yeah.
And it normally happens either with the windows down and the teachers nearby or right after the kids get in the car.
That's what he said. He said something along the lines, yeah, I love the parents that sit outside of the school for 2 hours so they can be first in line. Now, this is after school pickup.
Yep.
After school pickup lines, man.
Oh, boy.
They are a bear. Well, that is daunting.
That's one that you're not going to get any argument from me because I leave here a lot of times and I try and take a little of the work, the home stuff off of Lisa's plate. So I'm like, you know what? I got time. I'll go pick up both kids. Well, let me just tell you something. That pickup line at the public school is no joke. Like, they run two lines, one with multiple kids' cars and one with just single kids to pick up. And it doesn't matter, man. It's no matter how they try and traffic it. And then the dumbasses that at the school order Domino's and the delivery guy that decides it's okay to put your hazards on and park in the middle of the line where they're trying to pick up the kids and it slows the whole process down.
Yeah.
I want to go and absolutely just do something very, very destructive to that car.
Doesn't shock me at all. Colin in
probably doesn't.
Colin in Dickinson says we homeschool, so back to school isn't a thing. If we went to vacation in November or April, off we go. I like the allure of that. Here's why I like the allure of that is because I go to work every day. Like, if I'm the one that's having to do the homeschooling, I do not envy you whatsoever. That's got to be a difficult job.
Yeah, I think the challenge is, too, for me, I would always feel like, am I teaching them as much or more as the school can and evaluate stuff like that?
Are you doubting your ability?
I would. I would question my own ability. I really would. I would be concerned about that kind of stuff, but I totally get it where it's your own schedule. You can homeschool them in the car on your way to your vacation.
How many professions are there where you go, yeah, I could do that? Because that's kind of what you're doing when you homeschool, isn't it? You're saying,
kinda
yeah,
is.
I could be a teacher.
And I never in a million years think I could be a teacher like that.
I just don't think there's many other things
like that.
That's
like when I told you that Tad Brown really believed that he could just put on a headset and be the play-by-player color analyst for the Rockets.
Maybe he could. If you
give people
time.
Think they could do this.
No question they do. Every day we hear that.
Play-by-play is a learned skill, though. I think you can pick up play-by-play pretty easily if you put in the work. I really do.
You think he put in the work?
Yeah.
You think he put in the
work? Oh, I thought you said me.
No, you. I know you did.
If he really wanted it. I don't know his motivator. You know, I don't know what's driving him.
I just
you know him better than I do.
Yeah, there's no.
You know him better than I do.
His ego said he could do it.
Do you see this from the Texans? This is to me is a sign that the Texans are actually getting it now. They lowered some concession items. They lowered the price of a hot dog by 32%. Used to be $5.50, now it's $3.75. They lowered the price of their Cokes. Used to be $4.79, now it's $3.75. More than a dollar cheaper. chicken tenders basket, which chicken tenders are great. They used to be just over $10. Now they're $7.75. And a 16-ounce bottled domestic beer used to be $8.70. Now it's just under $8. How about the Texans lowering the prices of hot dogs, Cokes, chicken tenders, and beer?
Are you glass half full of beer or soda, or are you glass half empty guy? Because glass half full guy would be saying, this is fantastic news, and they're starting to get it.
Yeah.
Glass half empty guy is going, the hell took you so long? Your team sucked, and we've had to endure that. We should have had rock bottom prices so we could get drunk so it wouldn't be so tough to digest.
Now, Greg Grissom, who's the president for the Texans, hasn't been there all that long. He took over, of course.
He's been there a long time.
Was it 2 years?
He took over for Jamie as
but he wasn't calling the shots.
Top of the pie chart.
Yeah,
right?
He wasn't calling the shots. Now, I think this should be an automatic for a team who's losing, right? Like, if you're a rebuilding team, if you're losing, you went backwards in the standings. I feel like the prices of your concessions should always in some way parallel your win-loss record. Where if you're losing games and your fans aren't happy and you're not giving them a winner, okay, well, take care of them with the concessions. Lower the prices. Slash prices. Give them deals. Do all of that. Now, when you start winning, hey, you want to up the prices again? Well, now I'm winning, so I'm allowed to do it.
See, from a marketing perspective, I think you're absolutely right. But I think from a marketing perspective, there's the thought process that once you discount something, you have a struggle getting it back to where you want it to be at any time ever again. It was the old Les Alexander philosophy that in my earlier days with the Rockets that said you never would give away a ticket or discount a ticket because then you can never charge that price again without getting a whole lot of pushback.
Uh-huh. Well, if you're winning, they're going to pay.
But that was the other problem. You had a guy that was running the team at the time that held everyone hostage because they were winning. And they, most of the sponsors and the ticket holders couldn't wait for them to suck a little bit so that they could give it back to them and give it back to him, saying, now where's my disc? Exactly what you're saying. But I totally think in today's sports world, professional sports world, you should make concessions and admit when you're going, just like the general managers and the coaches themselves, admit when you're in a rebuild and say, hey, look, we appreciate our fan base. So until we get back to where we want to be that you expect us to be, we're going to do some things so that it's, you know, more conducive to you still going to games and being behind us the entire way.
Yeah. Lamont saying, I hate back to school season strictly from the traffic standpoint. The traffic is insane. And the reason because you see more cars because kids are driving too. High schools. I didn't think about it from a high school perspective. And also the Facebook first day of school pics are the worst. Why they never post pics of kids that flunked? Makes you think. 713-780-ESPN. Do you like back to school? Do you despise back to school? 713-780-3776. All right, I think I've probably been the lowest on the Davis Mills train, probably at this station. I mean, if it's our show, I think we lead of any other show, right? I feel like we're not Davis Mills truthers on
no,
the show.
No, but I've been always the guy that had said that I don't know what his ceiling was.
Sure,
yet.
But I feel like I've been down on him more than you have.
Yeah.
And I feel like our show's probably been down on him
Brendan's
more than the
been
other
a Mills
shows.
Mafia
yeah,
guy.
So I think of all of our hosts, I've been the worst.
I'd agree with that.
And the hardest on Davis Mills. Even the worst, even me, I found a path where Davis Mills becomes the franchise quarterback. It's the Killer Bees on
franchise
ESPN.
Or elite?
Franchise okay. quarterback. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Turn down for what?
Razor sharp commentaries delivered with a purpose. You found the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Trying to talk between bites of the waffle bus is always very difficult. I've been going to this place for years. They put the little burger sliders between the waffle fries, which is fantastic. That's just my favorite. They have a lot of other great options. They just brought us some food during the break, which is always fun to see because
Andre,
you see some.
It's the smell alone will get you. It's like if you smell that, that's like the you know you start following it down the hallway.
I like a little pica. You know that my
you
Mexican
caught a little
side.
Extra.
I caught a little extra, so if you like spice, they got a nice little jalapeno burger, I believe that it was. I had a bite before we went back on the air.
I thought your back locked up.
I just chugged
like,
the entire
okay?
water.
Like, yeah,
see,
like
pica.
No,
I like pica. And the 30 seconds before that red light turns on, maybe not the best option.
Probably.
But if you have
lesson learned.
You can go sit down for a little bit. It's the way to go. But they just brought us some food. It is fantastic. Thanks to the Waffle Bus for bringing us some snacks. The entire office. You meet people that you've never met before. But a couple of places to go.
Normally because they're in front of you in line.
Yeah, yeah. That does happen.
Q's notorious for that.
But Shepherd in the Heights, the Waffle Bus brick and mortar there. Also, they have one in Montrose brick and mortar. Sit down place, swing on by there. Also, look, if you're out and about, there's a good chance that they're going to find you in the city of Houston. They have two food trucks as well that are always around. So
would they be buses or you wanna, would they be trucks?
That's a good point. That's above
my pay
grade.
When you're the Waffle Bus.
It's above my pay grade. But make sure you check them out if you've never had them before. It is fantastic. You know I like to eat. You don't get a body like this if you don't like to eat. And the Waffle Bus, some of the best burgers in the city of Houston. Davis Mills, best quarterback in the city of Houston?
Yeah.
He's better than Jeff Driskel and Kyle Allen?
Yeah.
My
question would be, is he better than the guy you got at U of H?
Ooh, Clayton Tune looks pretty good, man.
Well, that, Clayton Tune you would be my good. Expert. That's why I throw it back to you.
College quarterback, NFL quarterback. I mean, Clayton's got a little ways to go before mm-hmm. we can start calling him an NFL quarterback, but probably just one season's worth before
so
we start calling him that.
So then the answer is yes.
Anyways, Davis Mills, I have found the path to a franchise quarterback from Davis Mills, that he can be the guy for the Houston Texans.
Okay.
I know that we sometimes look at the numbers and say, okay, well, let's see if this would be good enough for you to be, you know, take stock in him as a franchise QB. We throw out certain names. Is this enough for him to be a franchise quarterback? I know that we were kind of more believers of the eye test, but check this out. Would you take 68% from your quarterback?
Yeah,
pretty good completion percentage.
Mm-hmm.
That would be in last year, 68% completion percentage would have been seventh in the National Football League.
I think I know where you're going, bro.
Would have been seventh in the National Football League. Would you take almost 4,300 yards from Davis Mills in 2022?
Sure.
That would have been ninth last year in the NFL. Ninth in the NFL, just under 4,300 yards. Would you take 31 touchdowns,
exactly
seven interceptions.
Yes.
Would you take 31 TDs, seven interceptions? 31 TDs, seven interceptions. That would have been 10th in the NFL touchdowns.
Are you trying to get me to take Kirk Cousins?
I'm not telling you who you're taking just yet.
I'm telling you.
I'm not telling you who you're taking just yet.
I think I used these stats before.
68%, 4,300 yards, 31 touchdowns, seven interceptions, and also seven wins with a bad roster. Davis Mills, seven wins with a bad roster. I actually didn't give you Kirk Cousins. I gave you Davis Mills five games over a 17-game stretch. Davis Mills, if you prorate those numbers out to 17 games, and I hate to be on pace, guy, he would have been 68%, which would have been seventh in the National Football League. 4,200 yards, 4,300 yards, right in the middle of that. That would have been ninth in the league. Just under 31 touchdowns would have been 10th in the league. And if you prorate the stretch too, like the five games, he went 2-3 in those five games. Look at that over 17. It's just under seven wins. If you're winning seven games with this football team, you're doing pretty good as an NFL quarterback.
We just got done talking about the roster. I mean, if you have that little to work with on the roster and you do that much to have success, then you're doing quite a bit. Sure.
If Davis Mills does that, if Davis Mills has the five-game stretch that he had last year in his second stretch as a starter, the last five games of the NFL season, if he duplicates that over a 17-game stretch in 2022, the Texans have their franchise quarterback. It is Davis Mills.
This is funny you say this, because you know my memory a lot of times, right?
Yeah.
So you did it based on using it as the full season of Davis Mills.
I looked up the Cousins numbers, too.
Can I give you Kirk Cousins' 2021 season, and you want to see how close they are?
Yeah, I know how close they are.
Completion percentage, 66%. Yards, 4,200 yards. Touchdowns, 33. Interceptions, 7. Quarterback rating, 103.1.
Yeah.
So are you good with Kirk Cousins as your quarterback for the future of your franchise?
I think Kirk Cousins is top 10-ish. Like, I think he's probably just outside of my personal top 10, but I think he's top half of the NFL.
We did our top 10s. Look, I don't think any of us had him.
I don't think he got a vote. I don't think he got a vote.
He didn't get a vote. Now, if you said top 15,
yeah, he's
I would
top
think
15.
All of us would probably have him somewhere hovering around there.
Kirk Cousins top 15. So if Davis Mills duplicates what he did last year over a 17-game stretch, if he duplicates Kirk Cousins' numbers, I think you do have your franchise quarterback. Kirk Cousins got paid tons of money. A couple things that work against Kirk Cousins that would actually work for Davis Mills in this idea that he's Kirk Cousins. One is the second year, so you're still expecting some development from that body of work. Also, look, I like Brandon Cooks. He's not Justin Jefferson. The Minnesota Vikings also have Dalvin Cook and Adam Thielen in a significant upgrade offensively over everything else the Houston Texans have. So if Davis Mills is putting up Kirk Cousins numbers without the offense of Kirk Cousins, that's working into the benefit of Davis Mills. So if you want to have that conversation, ask that question, would you take Davis Mills if he's Kirk Cousins? After his second season with the roster around him, you're darn right I would take Davis Mills and Kirk Cousins.
So now that parlays into the question, does that preclude you from then drafting a quarterback no matter where you draft and who's available when you pick? If there is one of those top three quarterbacks still on the board when you draft, with all the things that you just said, with the numbers you just gave me, are you telling me you will turn the other cheek and go elsewhere?
Yeah. I would. Plus, you're also prorating the number. He's going to get you 7 wins. So you're probably drafting somewhere between, what do you think, Brendan, 7 and 12, maybe, if you have 7 wins, somewhere in that
probably
range.
Under 15.
So you're probably out of the – you might be in the conversation for, like, one of those guys, but you're probably not in the conversation for, like, the top two, maybe even the top three. And now it also excites you to where, okay, you have a top 10-ish quarterback somewhere in that mold, somewhere in that conversation, who, again, you don't have the greatest – you know, roster around him, again, is only in his second year, so it's natural to assume that there's going to be progression, there's going to be development off his second season. I start to get excited by the idea, if he is Kirk Cousins, of having 2 first-round draft picks that you don't have to select a quarterback.
I understand your way of thinking. I just have always been adamant, and I'm not going to get off my soapbox on it, that I don't think that anything that you see out of Davis Mills this year should preclude you from drafting another quarterback. And I understand what you're saying. You could immediately add 2 other guys at different positions that help this team get better, but you might have a different calendar or time clock or watch on it, but I still think you would help this football team. It's just that you also had an insurance policy and the ability to have competition and 2 guys to choose from should he fall short of being a full-blown Kirk Cousins.
But if you have 2 quarterbacks, you don't have 1. You know the old adage. But, like, the problem with that,
but you too, understand
though,
what I'm saying.
No,
too,
I do.
It would take a year. No matter who you draft this year, you wouldn't play him right away.
But it's also a wasted pick. Like,
it's not wasted if you get equal or more value at some point for that pick.
But if it's not the rookie that you're selecting, you're not going to equal the value, which Jordan loves value right now.
Well, that's one way of looking at it. But there's also the Romos and the Garoppolos of the world where
those weren't first rounders.
No, Garoppolo was a second. But I'm just saying.
And Romo was undrafted.
But yeah, regardless. Look, I understand. But I'm saying from a timetable perspective, yeah, you're a year behind and whoever you would get to get a pick, if you got equal or a better pick for whichever quarterback you didn't choose. But, you know, that's if you get rid of the first-round pick that you took, and it is Davis Mills. But if you take both guys, and Davis Mills starts at quarterback this year and next year, but you realize the guy that's playing behind him is actually better, now you're trading a third-round draft pick and getting possibly a second or a first for him.
Yeah. The problem with that, though, is now you're losing a first-rounder. Now you're like – if the risk there, too, is if Davis Mills is better than the rookie, where if now Davis Mills is better than the rookie that you're taking, let's just say number 10.
But you have time to figure that out.
But you lose the opportunity cost. Because if you're drafting whatever quarterback at number 10, he never beats out Davis Mills, you're never recouping that value or that draft capital.
Yeah, I have a lot of different experiences looking at this, and the one way I look at it too is like even with Rodgers and Favre, you know what? What you traded to get Favre wasn't that much. Even at his age, when you got rid of Favre, you got pretty decent draft capital for him. And
that's a Hall of Famer.
Kept your first round pick. Right. But I'm saying when you look at it, there's a million different ways you can break this down and saying, are you getting equal or better value? Is it a mistake because you're not getting a first round pick in the same year? But at the same time, if you're getting better at quarterback because you know Davis Mills showed that he can play in this league and he showed that he could be top 15-ish. But when you look at it, the kid that you drafted the next year in the first round that wasn't ready immediately to play showed you that he had top 10 capabilities. You still win. You just win on a different timetable, but it also kind of keeps your rebuild going in the right direction until you're ready to decide who your true number one is.
But it's just not bulletproof. There's a scenario that exists where there's a decent amount of risk. No, nothing is. 713-780-ESPN. If Davis Mills is Kirk Cousins, is that good enough? Is he your franchise quarterback? 713-780-3776. I'm already getting pushback for this. If you want to push back, you can. It's Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
This is ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
Your teams, our priority. Join the conversation with the Killer Bees. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
I probably shouldn't eat on camera. Brendan was saying that the Waffle Bus is his new favorite burger spot in all of Houston. It's really good.
It's really understandable.
Good. I don't know if I tried any of the burger, but all the chicken, all the waffle fries, all the waffles, everything else, great.
So when in Rome. When in Rome.
it was all great.
Brendan goes to a pizza place and gets the wings. I do too. I'm not going to lie. Yeah, very good. Thank you to the Waffle Bus for swinging by, dropping off some food for the Killer Bees, the Wheelhouse, the entire station, the entire Gal Media Sportsman was joining in as well. You can visit Waffle Bus, two brick and mortars, two locations, Shepherd in the Heights, also the Montrose area. And then if you just go to a popular place in Houston on the weekend or whenever, there's a good chance the Waffle Bus is going to be there as well. It started off as a food truck and then turned into the brick and mortar by demand because it was so good. All right, we're talking about Davis Mills. And if Davis Mills can extract what he produced in five games to a 17-game schedule, is he the franchise quarterback? I would say that, it's very similar to Kirk Cousins. Give me 68% completion percentage. That's seventh in the NFL last year. Give me just under 4,300 yards, ninth in the league. Give me right around 31 touchdowns in the NFL, 10th in the league, and under seven interceptions. Good touchdown to interception ratio. And, oh, yeah, that would extract to nearly seven wins with a very bad, bad roster. I think you have your franchise quarterback if Davis Mills can do that. 713-780-ESPN, if he does, is that your franchise quarterback? 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Drew, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. Go ahead, Drew.
Hey, if Davis Mills is able to do the Kirk Cousins numbers that you're talking about, I believe he's definitely the franchise quarterback. I think the rebuild would actually be slowed down if we drafted a rookie quarterback at that point because the talent around the team still has holes. And now we're putting a rookie QB under a lot of pressure to outperform basically what Davis Mills does. So if Davis Mills goes out there and balls out, I think it would actually help the rebuild that much faster to just choose different positions with our first two picks. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it, Drew. Look, I think that you're right, but I think that when you look at it, you also say, even in your scenario, Jeremy, where you say, well, maybe only one of the three guys that were going to be highly rated quarterbacks in the draft would still be available. But when you look at it from the perspective of Mahomes and where he was drafted and Deshaun, where he was drafted, and the fact that a franchise quarterback is a franchise quarterback, I don't think there's anything wrong with saying Davis Mills could be your franchise quarterback for this season, next season, and then you know, we'll see where it goes beyond. But if he's your franchise quarterback for 2 years and you find out that the guy that you got in the first round with one of the two first round picks following his first of those 2 years is better, then that guy ends up being your franchise quarterback.
Is that a franchise quarterback, though, if it's your job for 2 years?
I think it is. I think it's the same way that I think it just depends on which franchise it is, because I think you could still be a franchise quarterback for another quarterback after that. But I think we saw it when RG3 was drafted in the first round. Cousins was drafted in the second round. RG3 was the franchise quarterback for the first couple of years. Cousins eventually became a franchise quarterback. You know, he got his big money elsewhere. But I think that it's not a bad position to be in. And I understand that the rebuild would be accelerated if it's Mills and only Mills, and you just stick with Mills.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's that detrimental if you still take a quarterback and you end up, you got two quarterbacks.
You're down one first rounder, though. Because you're not playing two quarterbacks.
You might get it back and more.
That's a huge maybe. It's a huge maybe. I mean, you could, but you could also fail and not get anything back. I mean, Jordan Love would be the risk, whereas the reward is, I mean, what's the reward?
We talked,
Josh Rosen?
We talked earlier, guys, about how you can quickly go from a four-win team to competitive, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If Davis Mills is the equivalent of Kirk Cousins, you need those two first-round draft picks to win soon.
Yeah, you could be a playoff team next year if Davis Mills is Kirk Cousins.
The reason you point to the Bengals and say, well, you can't do what...
2023, next year.
Yeah.
The reason you point to the Bengals and say, well, you can't do what they did is because they went and got a quarterback. But if you have yours, there's no reason you can't be what they were.
Well, I would hesitate to call Kirk Cousins Joe Burrow.
No, certainly.
But yes, now you have a quarterback. I mean, look, if Davis Mills is going to be Kirk Cousins, and again, look, this is just extracting the Davis Mills numbers. This is not a prediction. Then, yeah, you have a quarterback that's capable to getting you to the playoffs in just his second year.
More additional resources than they have.
But, you know, and need I remind you again, the reason why I'm so pro-competition, and if there's still a really, really good quarterback that's really highly evaluated that's sitting there when you have one of your two first-round picks. I remind you that everybody that's a Texans fan was really good with Matt Schaub until they realized Matt Schaub's ceiling wasn't good enough to get you where they inevitably wanted you to go. And then they started wondering why, you know, why did they stick with him so long? Why did they do this? Why did they do that? Where you could follow Nick Caserio's Patriots mentality of saying there's nothing wrong with getting two guys that can play and figuring out who's the better later.
The Caserio model, though, what they weren't taking quarterbacks in the first round.
Not the first round, but you were still taking quarterbacks.
They were, yeah, which I would actually be more.
Which, if you're a Super Bowl caliber Patriots type team, you could have gotten a good player that would help your roster immediately in the second round.
Sure. Now, I'm actually more open to that model than I am if Davis Mills is a franchise quarterback. I'm more open to the idea of drafting a Malik Willis if he slides, a Desmond Ridder if he slides, as opposed to, you know, selecting a quarterback with the number one pick that I have next year.
Well, essentially what Green Bay did. When he slid to 25 or 23 or whatever it was, they were like, no matter who we had on our draft board that we should draft, this is a kid that was rated too high that we thought too highly of to pass on.
Yeah, and look, these are just the numbers. If Davis Mills extracted what he did in the five games last season over the 17 games, and R. Berry on Twitter saying that's a real stretch of a hypothesis for Davis Mills taking five games and extracting it over 17 games, man. That's a reach. And you're okay with Cousins as the Texans franchise quarterback? Come on, man. You sure you're not a Mills truther too all of a sudden? Look, this isn't a hypothesis. I want to be very clear with that because I don't really see Davis Mills extracting what he did over five games last season to the 17 games. All I did was take the numbers and be on pace guy and say, is this pace, if he does show it to you over 17 games, good enough? To me, it is. If he does this in his second season, what he did in five games over a full body of work in 17, which I agree with you, Arbery, is a reach. I don't predict it to happen. But if he does, if he produces the same exact way, I think the wins are a factor here too. Like, if you win seven games, the numbers are one thing because, like, Kirk Cousins puts up the numbers, but you feel like you're never going to get all the way there. If Davis Mills wins seven games with this team, this roster, look, Brandon Cook's a low-end wide receiver, one nice piece. Nico Collins is still a project player. You draft him in the mid-rounds last year, didn't play a ton as a rookie. You really don't know what he's going to be in year two. You're without John Mechie. Everybody else that you have at the receiver position is an unknown. Brevin Jordan, Farrell Brown each have their holes, even though the Highway to Hell does full segments on a tight end dropping a ball against air, riveting radio. If he can win seven games with this offense,
I think that's where you're saying something. I think that's – look, when we were talking about what's going to stand out to you, and we said it's not wins and losses, but what could Davis Mills possibly do that would earn him the job for 2023? I think that's where it starts. I think when I was talking about, you know, matriculating the ball down the field and putting this team in position to score points multiple times and throughout a game and also in big moments will give you as much – confidence and belief as any win or loss. But I think the other thing is, like we talked about, as it related to Aaron Rodgers and other quarterbacks that lost big time receivers, they're supposed to be good enough to make those guys better so that they should be able to do things for you. If Davis Mills does that with this roster, especially because one of the guys that would have been a key for him at some point, Mechie, is also out.
Right.
And you're trying to develop a guy that was a third round pick a year ago in Nico Collins. And that's the other thing. You've got stations around town that are marveling at the potential because of Farrell Brown and because of Nico Collins' physique. Never has a physique alone turned into making you an all-pro.
Speak for yourself.
Okay, all right.
Speak for yourself.
Joey Dorsey.
Waffle bus fueled, baby.
That's the thing, too. If he's able to make guys that good and better, that's saying something.
See, putting up Kirk Cousins' numbers outside of Minnesota is significant. Like, putting up those numbers with Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, if he was out for a while, Dalvin Cook,
previously,
even though he was out
Diggs
for a while.
Was part of that, too. He always had weapons.
So if you're Davis Mills replicating Kirk Cousins, who I think Kirk Cousins is a top 15 quarterback, I would say he's probably a high-end, like 12, which is just outside of the top 10. But you're doing that in year two, so you're like, okay, well, he can develop into a top 10. These numbers are great, and he's doing it with a mediocre offense around him, and he's winning seven games with a mediocre team. You got your franchise quarterback. Okay. ABC Eric puts it in a really good way. I'm in this weird position where I want Mills to ball out, but I also want us to lose enough so we get a top two or three pick. It's an oxymoron, I know, but I feel like we need to have one of those quarterbacks next year on our roster moving forward. You need to have one or the other. You need to have Davis Mills that exceeds and smashes our expectations. Davis Mills, five games over 17, wins seven games. Or you need him to be dog poop. Like, you need Davis Mills to be one of those two
but
things.
But that's the perfect scenario that I don't think you're going to get. That's why we were talking
probably
about
not.
This. I don't know that you're going to get close to that. So you're going to have – Caserio's going to have some tough decisions to make and whether to pass or to make a play at one of those quarterbacks. And you're going to wait to see that. Because here's the other thing. You know how we talk about the eye test all the time? Uh-huh. You know how I always talk about it with Abreu especially, too? I'm a guy, and I think Brendan to some point is, too, and I don't know Brendan's watching habits on Lions week in, week out. I've watched Kirk Cousins enough to know that just like we saw about Jake Myers in terms of what he looks like at the plate and in the field, that's what Kirk Cousins looks like in big situations.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing that Texans fans are going to have a hard time dealing with. They can have a great regular season quarterback that's top 15, but it's going to come down to, at a certain point, how you play in the playoffs, too. And I've seen Kirk Cousins fold like a cheap suit or an envelope.
That's why I didn't want to have the Mills is Kirk Cousins. I wanted to look Mills versus the numbers. And I agree with you. I think that the numbers can be either overrated or underrated, and that a lot of it is the eye test, especially in a sport that is such a dependent variable as the NFL and football and the quarterback position. 0441 puts it in a really good way, I think. What Kirk Cousins lacks is the intangibles factor. Nobody truly believes in him, even though his stature above average. Agree on all of those points. He doesn't elevate those around him. If Davis Mills has the intangible factors and the stats of Kirk Cousins, you have a winner. I think that's summed up
it
beautifully.
That was really, really good, because I can tell you that every time Jay Cutler or Kirk Cousins has taken the field against the Green Bay Packers, almost the majority says we have a really good chance of winning this game, because no matter what their regular season stats look like, I've seen what they do when the lights are bright and they fold.
What is the worst non-Houston sports gear to wear in Houston? And well, let's take a look at these Mills last five games and then extract it out again to the 17. And if Mills is a franchise quarterback, if so, Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. First, I want to tell you about my good friends over at HR&P, Human Resources and Payroll. It's Cougar-owned by Mike Holly. Members of the Cougar 100, by the way, going on nearly a decade now, 8 years in a row. I know that you've seen the HR&P signage if you frequent some U of H games. You've seen the signs at TDECU. You've seen the signs at Fertitta. And you've also seen that beautiful scarlet and white U of H flag hanging outside of their building off the Beltway. Business owners, let HR&P help you. Whether it's HR compliance, benefits administration, payroll, onboarding, HR&P can help in all or one of those facets. Whatever you want, they'll do. There's no boxes with HR&P. Doesn't matter how small, doesn't matter how big, HR&P will figure out a way to completely customize a plan for what you want and what your business needs. You have a little problem, they'll take that issue off your plate. You have a big problem, they'll take that off your plate. If you have a bunch of little ones, they'll take that off your plate as well. HR&P will find a way to help. And they do it in a way that is unique. It's fantastic. Technology meets service. They have the best tech. You'll love that. But you'll also love their service. Guaranteed fulfillment. You'll be talking to some stranger on a call board. You'll be talking to someone who knows you and your business needs. Look, I'm an employee of an employer that uses HR&P, and I'm so thankful and grateful for that. Anytime I have a question, I just send a quick email over to HR&P. I'm an email guy, and they always give me an answer quickly and easy to understand. So look, if you want to take care of your employees, you as an employer, give them HR&P. Give them a call, 281-880-6525, and let HR&P customize a plan for you, 281-880-6525. Or check them out at HRP.net. That's HRP.net.
You're listening to...
Hey! Yeah, you! You better be listening to ESPN 97.5. And don't you dare turn that down!
ESPN 97.5. Talking sports with you, not at you. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Cody Stutes hanging out with us. He enjoyed some Waffle Bus with us a little bit earlier, too. I love the sliders. The burger, the cheeseburger, smashed between two waffle fries that are so delicious, so good. Check them out, Shepherd of the Heights. Check them out, Montrose, the two Waffle Buses as well. They'll be cruising around town.
Let's make sure we get this in before we get out.
Uh-huh.
Congratulations to the Pearland Little Leaguers.
Yeah.
They are going to Williamsport, yeah. PA, and they are going to the Little League World Series.
Find somebody that loves you as much as Blankers loves Little League Baseball.
I like watching some Little League Baseball, especially when there's a local team involved, and I want to give a shout-out to the locals going to represent at the Little League World Series. Better if Oklahoma was representing the Southwest.
Yeah, I hope that they win. I hope Pearland gets
it done.
Doesn't
sound like you do.
I do. I want them to win. I'm just dying for them to win.
I'm thrilled they're going, because that means there's going to be less people out at Texans, because people go cover them.
Oh.
So then I don't have to worry about getting a good viewpoint for what I want to observe.
So selfish reasons, which kind of selfishly, well, Cody was also enjoying some Waffle Bus today. How about Stoots jumping in front of the two on-air guys in the conference room where all the food's at? I mean, Cody's got 45 minutes before his show. We got to be back in 3 minutes, and Cody's taking up all the space.
Ooh. Jeremy, does it look like I'm a type of guy you need to be in front of some food when it's free?
I'm just saying, have a little bit of decency. Have some courtesy.
Why would I ever have some decency towards you? You never have any decency towards me.
Oh, please. I talk well of you.
I wasn't in Joel's way. I was in your way.
I mean, Joel didn't eat.
Toxing you out like Ben Wallace.
How do you feel about non-on-air stuff beating us, all of us? Just throwing it out there.
Man. Got to be back in 3 minutes, and you got Stoots just taking his sweet little time.
Man,
getting some fries.
That's an ish you, not an ish me.
Yeah, okay. That's great that you got the benefit of the station in mind. That's all I'm going to say. We were talking about Davis Mills.
Do I say it?
Go ahead.
I don't know. Might not be the worst thing if you were missing for a few minutes.
What's that?
Never mind.
You're talking about the size? I don't think that's a card that you want to play.
Davis Mills. What, will you have a question about Davis Mills?
Davis Mills.
Talking on air.
What's that?
I thought he was talking on air.
I have no idea. Anyways, Davis Mills, if you extract his 5 games into a 17-game sample, his numbers are very good. I'll read them off for you. Why not? 68%, top 10. Just under 4,300 yards, top 10. Just under 31 touchdowns, top 10. Less than 7 interceptions. If that is what Davis Mills gives you, and also the 7 wins, too. Let's extract that out there as well, that if 2 and 3, 5 games get you to nearly 7 wins over 17. If he is that, if Davis Mills is that in 2022, is he the franchise quarterback for the Houston Texans?
Yeah, absolutely he is. And I'm over the moon if that's the case. And here's why. Here's something that I think NFL fans do more than just about any other fan base for any other sport. NFL fans never, ever believe that their quarterback, after a good year, is going to have a bad year, is going to regress. Mm-hmm. Everybody expects their quarterback to, after they have a really good year, man, it's going to be even better. And it takes probably 2-3 seasons of that guy not getting better than that awesome year before they realize, oh, this is exactly what he is. But anytime one of these guys has a really good year and it's early in the career, the fan base is over the moon, and they're just like, well, it's going to be even better next year.
Not necessarily just early in the career, because you can go RG3 or you can go with Vince Young, but you can also go to Matt Schaub. Matt Schaub, when they got him and the leap that he took, they expected it to get better and better and better. And a certain time he plateaued.
Sure.
And then people went, that's it? That's all we get? And then it started to digress. And everybody's like, oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, anytime a QB, Bills fans think Josh Allen's going to have a way better year than last year, because nobody really thinks their quarterback's going to take a step back. Certainly if he's not towards the end of his career or the back of his career, he's an older QB. No one's ever like, I'm worried about the regression here or there. It's like, no, go. More touchdowns, more yards, less interceptions.
He could have lesser numbers, win an MVP, and people think that he actually took another step up.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's Herbert had some numbers in year two that weren't as good as year one, but everybody's still like, well, that's amazing. And then ask any Chargers fan. There's no chance in hell Justin Herbert's having a worse year than last year. It's going to be way better. He might be in the MVP conversation. Everybody feels good about their quarterback coming off a good year, and they expect more.
See, I think what you said about the age matters too. Like the development process of a second year quarterback, you would expect for the climb to continue to happen.
Yeah,
you still think the stock's going up from year two to year three, which I think is like valuable here, because the numbers extracted, Mills 5 games to the 17 over a full body of work, pretty similar to Kirk Cousins. But Kirk Cousins, where he's at in his career, you're not really expecting. You think he's kind of leveled off. Mm-hmm. You're not really expecting Kirk Cousins to develop, to improve, because of his age, how long he's been in the league. If Davis Mills is putting together Kirk Cousins' numbers in year two, you're expecting the climb. You're expecting the development. You're expecting a quarterback to still get better. And now you have 2 first-round draft picks where you're not looking at a quarterback, which I think actually helps the rebuild if you already have the franchise quarterback in place.
Yeah, and if Cleveland's bad enough, that could be a supremely awesome pick. Now, look, you mentioned if he's Kirk Cousins in year two, like, obviously you're not picking near the top, but you're still getting a very good player. You're still getting
7 wins gives you what? Probably around the 10th pick?
You're getting, at worst, the top 15.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so, I mean, you're getting 2 players there, too.
Let me ask you, if you know you're getting Kirk Cousins, or you think you're getting Kirk Cousins, and one of those 2 picks lets you have one of the top 3 quarterbacks in the first round next year, you pass on him?
Oh, yeah. I think you bet on exactly what I talked about. Your guy's going to take that next step. And I think with Mills, it's a little bit different conversation. The guy's played 28 football games in the past four seasons of football. Like, that's it. Like, college, pro, everything he did last year, he's played 24 games, and actually, 24, 26. And one of those, he only threw, like, one pass. So he's actually played, like, 23, 25, whatever the exact number is. I wrote about this a couple weeks ago for Sports Map. It's like the jump from training camp last year to the end of the season, huge jump, really impressive. He does the end of the season last year to Kirk Cousins this year. That's another huge jump. The expectation, I would think, from most everybody would be, okay, there's a little bit more. It's not like an immediate level off. Like, there's more to his game.
Yeah, I think I've look, I was always excited about Davis Mills in 2022. I'm probably have the lowest opinion of Davis Mills at the station, probably. And look, I'm not predicting Davis Mills to put up these numbers. It's just a fascinating look to see that, okay, that five-game stretch was good. It was solid. Mm-hmm. And then to look at that over the full body of a season, 17 games, and whenever you look at it and you take the long approach at it, I mean, you got a quarterback that you would love to have those numbers. And to me, the wins are important, too. Like, if you're winning seven games with what I think is one of the worst rosters in the NFL, that shows you how good Davis Mills could potentially be. Again, this is just a hypothetical.
Only way wins
versus
are
a prediction. What do you mean?
For the rebuild of this franchise. The biggest thing is if he takes this roster and gets wins out of him.
You're seeing that you have a quarterback who can lead a team.
It's that QB elevation thing.
Right.
Okay, Mills did this with these guys. They looked this good. Like, Brandon Cooks is QB proof, but, you know, okay, Davis Mills, bad Davis Mills last year. Nico Collins was a non-factor. Mills gets a lot better. Nico Collins looks a lot better. It's like, oh, okay. Like, there's a little bit of elevation in there. Like, oh, Mills got in there, put the work in. He made Nico Collins better. Obviously, Nico Collins made him a little bit better. So it's like, what can you do with the team? Like, what can you handle? What is the situation you're succeeding in? And how much of that is a direct correlation to him being better, and what can you project? And the Texans will know that answer better than just about anybody over the course of a season.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to Mills in 2022. I hope that he produces this hypothetical. I don't know if I have the most confidence in that. Were you at camp today?
I was.
Who? Which professional football player looked good playing football today?
Which professional football? That's a very interesting way to put it. Derek Stingley.
Yeah.
Derek Stingley had three really, really, really good plays today. He was sticky right next to Nico Collins all the way through a rep. Nico didn't come down with the ball. A couple plays later, forces a bad pass from Mills that nobody was catching because he was all over Chris Moore. And the big one from Derek Stingley, it was a offense has to score a touchdown. They're on the six-yard line. Mills takes like one step back, plants, and just fires to Nico Collins. And Stingley's right there. Now, mind you, you're 6 yards away from the end zone. Got to get a touchdown. Stingley's all over Nico Collins. They go to the ground, short of a touchdown. Defense wins. Defense holds. And I was like, all right, that's, you know, today was one of those, like, that's why Stingley's here type
then
of
things. Did he feel it some punt?
And yeah, he did some,
if he's the punt returner, I riot.
Damn well better not feel punts.
What's coming up?
He won't feel punts in real games.
All right, if he does. What's coming up on the Wheelhouse?
Well, we got a lot of training camp observations. We're 30 days away from the start of the NFL season. Mm. Each member of the Wheelhouse has 10 things they're looking forward to for this season. We'll talk about that and so much more.
Very good. We'll be listening. Thanks to Brendan for the hard work. He's Blank. I'm Branham. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston. The Wheelhouse is next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.